All right, we're speaking on the subject of the living in the supernatural. Let me read this and we'll be set to go. Verse 5 of Galatians 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. Amen. All right, now we had started before on last Sunday and talking about this idea of the living in the supernatural in a little bit different way. We started bringing it over to marriage and the family. And, you know, sometimes people don't think that's a very exciting topic. But anything you talk about in the kingdom is exciting. Doesn't make any difference what it is. So we begin to speak about things in terms of principles and talked about a little bit about the foundation of something. And that God is, when Jesus taught, he taught principles. And that really, if you want to know the truth, I've been teaching on marriage all the time. But you just have to apply the principles to it. And we're now going to go into some more specific things, but what I taught, you could relate to anything that is a part of your life that you're living here in the kingdom. So, as we looked at this, we talked about the kingdom perspective of things and how that's extremely important in terms of what we do. And that you have to first go to the foundation. And when you go to the foundation, we went to Psalm 11 and verse 3, and it said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we talked about the foundation in terms of society, and foundation of society is not the family. The foundation of society is the mailman. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who takes mail. I'm talking about the man who is a male. You see, both of them were men, but she was a woman, and he was a mailman. Got it? She was a female man. Okay, now that, I'm going back to the foundation now. All right, so we begin to zero in on this, and I want to do a little bit more with it today. But if you're building anything, you don't start with the roof on a house. You got to start with the foundation. Can I get an amen somewhere in the house? And then we went over to Luke chapter 6, and we read about the foundation, but let's go over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. And the same teaching there, but it is presented in a just a little bit different way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would like him into a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and floods came, And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So what we are saying here is the foundation is the man. So as we build this house of the family, we're going to have to build it on a rock. And we're going to have to build it on a solid foundation that this particular male man has to be a solid foundation, because if it's not, then the whole house is going to be headed for a fall. And that if you look at this and take it to a greater revelation, you will see that society is only going to be as strong as the male man. Okay, now you might take issues with me. And the reason why is because you might see the family an entirely different way. And the reason why it is because the foundation in your life has not been laid. That somehow you're operating on a different standard or a different foundation. And what I'm saying to you is that what this teaching is designed to do is to bring you back to the truth of the Word of God. Now, whether you take issue or not is up to you and God. But I'm just going to give you what the Bible says. And you'll find that if the foundation is not there in any house, this house is going to sink. It's just a matter of time. He's talking about lives here, not housing projects. Okay? Now, so as we looked at this, we start looking at things through a kingdom perspective. And if you come on back over here to Matthew chapter 6, he says something here that's very interesting. He says in verse 24, let me know when you got it by saying praise the Lord. In verse 24, he says this. He says, no man can serve two masters. That either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there are two systems operating in the earth, the kingdom and Babylon. Babylon is a system of society trying to meet its needs without God. So it's trying to eliminate God and his foundation from the lives of humanity. That's what Babylon's trying to do. Changing all the rules. Pervert everything. So you won't even know what the truth is. He goes on down here and says, therefore, take no thought, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take no thought. Okay? It's a thought out there, but don't take it. Now, one of the problems has been is that God's people have heard the gospel of salvation, but they've not heard or been taught the gospel of the kingdom. So therefore, they're still getting their input from a wrong source. And so once you come into the kingdom of God and begin to get your input from God, at first it may sound weird, strange, and everything else. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. It's going to line up with the Word of God. So he said in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay. So make God your priority. So we're seeking his way. We want to know what he says about it. Now, once you talk about the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus preached, you are talking about the supernatural. Now, understand where God has taken us. He's taking us back to the garden. that he's taking us back to the beginning because we're still in the process of completing the Eden mandate. Now, when I say Eden mandate, I mean what mandate he gave in the garden. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and what? Subdue it. Replenish means to perpetually renew and supply. It means to stock with abundance. We're here as sons of God to fix things that are broke. We're here. Now, what do we have to fix it with? Something called the blessing. Say amen to that. Amen. Something called a blessing. We have the supernatural ability of God. You cannot advance the kingdom without faith, without the supernatural. You can't do it. So now what we did is we start looking at the fact that this supernatural is needed. Glory to God. I want you to stay with me now. We have used miracles and believe for miracles in areas of our lives. Somebody might be sick and the doctor said, hey, there's nothing we can do about this. There's nothing we can do to get you well. And what we did is we came in and came to the church. The Bible says over in the book of James, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if been any sins, you'll be forgiven. So you can actually come right in to the Word of God and do the Word of God. And sicknesses that were impossible to be healed in the world will get healed in the church. And that we call a miracle. Now that's a miracle in the body. How about in your finances? When we were paying off the airplane, there were miracles happening. People would come to me and crying tears in their eyes. Pastor, I believe God for this $1,000. And it actually came in. I mean, they had never seen a miracle. I have seen some miracles, folks. I have seen blind eyes open. I have seen where I prayed for a man that had stitches and had fresh stitches in his arm. I prayed for him and God took all the stitches out and healed up the wound and left one stitch up here so I'll know that he did it. I've seen that. So we've seen physical and we've seen financial. Well, what about the marriage? Now, come on over here, if you will, to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, pardon me. And he says this, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I had to look that perilous up to see what that meant. And it's times that are hard to deal with. It's times that it says here that it'll be very difficult to be a Christian. That's one translation said. But hard times, say hard times. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's a selfish individual. Well, we're in the last day. Now you can go on down, covenant breakers, so forth and so on. But what I'm saying is, as we put up Revelation 12:12, we read something in that. We said, this is the kind of time that we're in. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having what? Great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So I used to hear folks say, the devil is busy. He's on the warpath. He's after trying to destroy what God has built. And one of the things that's his target is the Christian family. Or the whole idea of family. And he is targeting, puts his crosshair, goes after it. Now, what we are saying is that situations can get to the point where they are beyond a natural cure. Did that make sense to you? Okay, they are beyond a natural fix. The intelligence of Egypt could not deliver them from the famine. They needed Joseph. So, just like you'll have a miracle in your body, you'll have a miracle in your money, why can't you have a miracle in your marriage? Well, it hasn't been taught. Why hasn't it been taught? Because the kingdom hasn't been taught. We didn't taught everything else. Climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Job this and Job that. I'm told, well, where is the kingdom? But once you start teaching the kingdom, then it leads you right into the supernatural. And I'm telling you, I've heard teaching on marriage and so forth and so on, but most of what I've heard has never dealt with this miracle working power. It's been hang on and give the Lord this and so forth. But it didn't tell you that over in Galatians, come on over there, please. Over in Galatians chapter 5, it didn't tell you, at least the teaching that I heard now, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just making an observation. It didn't tell me over in Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that means watch your self-control, and against such there's no. It didn't tell me I had supernatural disposition. I thought I was going to have to weather this storm in my own ability. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, when the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you go and to possess it, and has cast out many nations from before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, watch this, greater and mightier than you. Mightier than you. You're about to come up, up against stuff mightier than you. See, God has a habit of taking you into a problem you can't solve. God has a habit of taking you to a piece of property you can't afford and then tell you to buy it. Boy, I'm preaching better. You saying amen. Now, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yep, mightier than you. Problems coming up against your life that are mightier than you. Up against your marriage that are mightier than you. Ain't no natural reasoning can get you out of this. God. I said, but God. Look at the next verse up there after Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at that next verse. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver you before them, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show any mercy to them. I'm going to give you victory over them. I'm not going to give you victory one time. I'm going to make it so that he always causes you to triumph. You're going to win every battle. Because there's nothing but the devil coming up against your marriage, coming up against them kids, trying to do this and do that. I got news for the devil. We're going to frustrate the devil. Instead of him harassing you, you're going to harass him. Now, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says in verse 19, and I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is God talking. That I have set before you life, come on, and death. Blessing, come on, and cursing. Therefore, come on, choose life that both you and your seed may live. So notice he's putting two things before you. Life and death and blessing and cursing. You choose. But I'm going to tell you which one to choose. Now come on over to Proverbs. Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 18. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 21. Here's death and life again. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you and I, there is a wall of separation between the blessing and the curse. A wall of separation. Just put it up on the board real quick. Don't turn to it. John chapter 10, verse 10. Here's what he said. Jesus is saying this. He said, the thief cometh not before to what? Steal, come on, to kill and to destroy. Keep going. But I am come that you might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. So I'm saying, between Jesus and the thief, there's a wall. And you can't get it no better than that. And you choose. And your tongue is the key ingredient. So what did I say I did with that marriage? My marriage, here I was, just had married my wife 6 months later, enemy trying to talk me out of it. I'm complaining, criticizing now, and all these kind of things. I'm not going to talk about this today, but you and I know sometimes we bring baggage into places. Come on, somebody come with me now. You and I know sometimes we bring baggage into places, and we bring these things that we've had some deep-seated abuses and so forth and so on, and we bring these things in, and now we got to deal with this because it's coming into the marriage. So now these images that are inside of us, we got to get them out. Say amen to that. Amen. And what I told you, we showed you in Matthew 15, that every plant that's in you that the Father has not planted shall be rooted out. And so now we got to root this thing out. Now, I don't know it's in there because I think I'm all straight. You know, all of us come in, we think we got everything we know. That's why some people who come in here and they think they know everything. I've been in the way for 40 years. That's about right. You've about been in the way. And I'm telling you, what you need to do is you need to come in and get a meekness to your attitude and understand that this man can teach you something. Now, hold it, because God is no respecter of person. You got to understand that I don't care what your background is, where you come from, so forth. Well, I got a PhD. Doesn't make any difference. This that I'm teaching is a mystery. And you got to understand that for you to get here, the Holy Ghost got to take you. You can't get here through the blackboard in the classroom. Thank God for that, but you can't get here. There are things that you can learn in a classroom that won't deliver you. The Egyptians had great wisdom. They were the first ones that came up with calculus. They are the first ones that came up with the almanac and what the stars position and what is going to give you in terms of weather. They knew all of that. They still trying to discover how they built the pyramids. But they could not be delivered from the famine that was coming. They needed a man who could go up there. And the man was Joseph, and your man is Bill Winston. And I can go up there, praise God. So, I can't walk over that no more. I get carried away. Okay. All right. But there is a wall of a separation between the blessing and the curse. And he's telling you, choose life, choose the blessing. So the word of the kingdom won't return void. It will accomplish what it set out to do. Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 11. And so I'm looking to speak the word because the word of God is a controlling factor in the earth. It's the same word God used when he saw darkness and called it light. So nothing can resist it. So what did I do? I took the word of God, took this little thing, and began to read it. My wife is a virtuous woman, always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity. She does not eat. She gets spiritual food, gift from the house. She assigns her maids a task. The word is working mightily in our marriage. We've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And then right away, my mind would say this. That ain't true. No, no, it is true. Watch this. In my mind, it may not be a fact, but it is true. So the truth is designed to displace the fact in your life. If the facts don't line up with heaven, they gotta be changed. Gotta be changed. So what did I do? Read it. What did it do first? Empty me out. The first one it's gonna change is you. Now I know you don't need changing, but the first one is gonna change is you. Okay? Now, in that, you, words are the most important thing because this is still a word planet. And God gave you the authority to speak them. Amen. The devil wants your tongue, especially concerning your family. He wants it, and you cannot give it to him. I don't care what the circumstances look like. We got to understand and we got to keep our mouth. Yes. Now, I told you before, I showed you where over in Hebrews chapter 12, that when you say things that are out of line with God's blessing, that and somebody does something and you begin to repeat it, a root of bitterness will come in. And then it'll grow up and then many be defiled, where you be spreading it to other folk. And they just eat of the fruit of that tree that's growing inside of you. We got to root that tree out. Say amen to that. So what we did is we're showing you that you can take things that are supernatural tools and abilities that God has given you to be able to overcome the devil, no matter what he's trying to put on you. That you can use tongues. Tongues is where you dip into that river stream of wisdom and come up with some answers. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Also, you can use meditation. Whatever the promise is that will answer the problem that you have, meditate that promise, and that meditation will bring forth wisdom and strategies for you to be delivered from that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there has no temptation, test or trial, that's what the definition of temptation, taken you, but such is common to man. In other words, the devil's trying to work the same trick on somebody else. But God is faithful, say he's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to, come on, to bear it or endure it. You're gonna make a way to escape. Amen. Now, I'm just saying, love. I'm not talking about natural love. I'm gonna love you till you cross me. But I'm talking about the love that loves in spite of. How about the gifts of the Spirit? How about the fruit of the Spirit? How about the spiritual laws you can use? How about angels you can use? How about the Holy Ghost who you can use? So what I showed you in the before while we were talking, I said that it hasn't been taught that you are exempt from abuse. Now, hear what I'm saying. See, it got quiet in here. It always gets quiet on that. But I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to show you something. I taught that last Sunday. I said, listen. I said, just like Daniel went to the lion's den. Now, notice they falsely accused him. He ended up in the lion's den but the lions wouldn't eat him. Got it? Now, who do you think protected him?
God.
And then I took you over to Genesis chapter 20. Come on back over there. Genesis chapter 20. Now, you know, I took it to these. I thought you were going to shout on them, but I guess we all Democrats. Okay, that's all right. But anyway, as we look at this, look at this now. Now, I'm not political, so don't take that personally. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 3, and God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a what? Dead man. For the woman which thou hast what? Taken, for she is a man's, come on, wife. Now, could the king hurt Sarah? Nope. Why? Because there is a wall of separation between the blessing and the curse. I want to show you that. Put something right there, right where you got it, right now. And look over here to Exodus chapter 9. Now, by the way, my political persuasion is I'm a Christocrat. I'm just letting you know what I am. Because ain't none of them right. I'm a Christocrat. All right, look what it says here in Exodus chapter 9. Let me know if you got it. Now, look at me. This is the children of Israel down in Egypt. Got it? All right, now God is about to deliver them. I said there's a wall. The blessing wall. Look what it says here, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle which is in the field, upon the horses and upon the asses and upon the camels and upon the oxen and upon the sheep. And there shall be a very grievous murrain, which is diseased. Mad cow disease. Y'all ever heard of that before? Verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. I said that your cattle may be out there with their cattle. But there is a blessing wall. Y'all got that? So you don't look at their cattle and then lose your faith in the blessing of your cattle. You can't look at the circumstances and determine what you're going to get. You got to look at the covenant. That's what Jacob did. He looked at the blood that was on Joseph's coat and made an assumption. My son has been killed by a wild beast. Notice his tongue. And what happened to him? Instantly he left faith. Instantly he began to age. And pretty soon down at Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? He said, I've not yet attained to the age of my father. His father, Isaac, was 185. And my father's father, his father Abraham, grandfather Abraham, was 175 when he died. And here he is, 130. And looking older than him. Why? Because he left faith. And when you leave faith, you're under the curse. And the curse is going to start working on your body, your mind, everything. My mind ain't what it used to be. Then come on back over here under the blessing. The thoughts of the righteous are right, and God has blessed your mind. Don't get mad at me now, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Because the truth is going to make you free. So I'm putting a wall between the curse that's on them and the blessing on you. Now, don't tear the wall down with your tongue. Now, let me show you somebody that did. Come on over here, because this is a word planet. Everything starts with that kindling. A big fire comes out of small kindling. The tongue is a little member. So the tongue is kindling. Folks, I was brought up down south, but sometimes my mom and dad used to take all of us down to my grandmother's to stay for the summer. I hated it. But they used to come down there. Not that I hate my grandma, I love them, but I hated going away from my friends, you know, all summer and so forth. But they sometimes would light a fire because they had wood stoves. And they'd light the fire, they need kindling. They need a little strip with some sap in it, and just right that ignites right away. Try to start a fire with a big log. Get some matches. You'll just use up a whole box, and then you need another box. Why? But if you just get one match and one piece of kindling, poof, it lights. But then you take the kindling and put it under the wood. And then it catches gradually, and now you got a big fire, but you don't see the kindling anymore. So I'm saying it's a fire raging in families, but it will start with somebody's tongue. Because their tongue tore down a blessing wall. And it started a wheel in motion. This making sense to you? So I said, they can't touch you. Women, you're exempt from abuse. Now, I'm just telling you, this hadn't been taught because it hadn't been taught from the kingdom. Now, let me verify what I said. I was taking my wife out to breakfast because I'm trying to do what I'm reading here. And we got a text while we were at breakfast. She did. And the lady said, this same thing happened to my mom and dad. I said, wow. So we had her to write it up. Here's a little of what it says. Her father apparently was abusive. And he was an elected official, all this kind of stuff. And my father got fed up with my mom and sent her to her dad's or something like that. And my grandfather didn't say much, but just began to pray after my mom was sent. And my mother had already been praying for my dad's salvation and his stubborn, mean ways. That night, my father said that he had a dream where God showed him hell. And that if he continued to treat my mother that way, that he was treating her, that he was going to die and he's going to hell. Now, this is a dream. He specifically informed my dad that he had no more chances. My father woke up sweating and frightened. And he woke my mother up and asked her to give him a Kleenex. Now, mom said that she thought, oh no, here he goes again, waking me up in the middle of the night to startle me about the church. And she was very surprised when he began to apologize and told her that he will never mistreat her again. My dad kept his words. Matter of fact, he loved my mother so much that he boasted of how much he loved my mother everywhere he went. He bragged about how he was never sick because my wife would pray for him and he'd get healed every time. And she constantly reminded him that God healed him. But he said, you were used by God. And he was faithful to her and could not stop talking about her, his love for her everywhere he went. He supported her in the ministry. She was a minister and also a deacon. My mom and dad were famous throughout the community and the church for having breakfast together every morning at a favorite restaurant. Even up to 3 months before she went home to be with the Lord at 80 years old, they would walk to the bus stop hand in hand and just sit and talk, then walk back home. And he referred to her as the baby. And every day of their 60-year marriage after that, even though they had 8 babies of their own, my mom named me Love because she loved my dad. And they told me the story and so forth. And my dad changed the course of a generation and set a standard for his daughters. I love my dad. Now, what am I saying? God may be calling you to be a transition person. A transition person is one who stops the transmission of negative tendencies within your family line. Glory to God in heaven. This thing is not supposed to go from the parents to the kids to the grandkids. Somebody's going to cut that off. And the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You are a transition figure, praise God. Now, what am I saying? Where did I get this from? God gave me this in marriage. He said, they, if they knew the covenant, they could never get physically abused. I said, wow, that has never been taught. I ain't never heard that in my life. Now, I'm not saying anybody sit up here and go through physical abuse. I'm saying this, whatever is revealed to you will be restored to you. Remember, what God gave Adam to keep him safe was knowledge. That's what he gave him. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, where did I get this from? I'm studying, preparing for you. And God spoke to me and said, tell them that I will protect them even from abuse. And use these 2 scriptures to show them. Got it? Nobody can touch you. You are as much the seed of Abraham as I am. Folks, I was just preaching down in South Carolina, and a lot of the people were servicemen that we were preaching at, and they got up, and Colonel began to tell stories about him, Psalm 91, and how he's confessing it over in Iraq, and they would shoot an RPG right at him, and the RPG would die before it even hit the Jeep. He saw it with his own eyes. Don't tell me folks can get to you. They can't touch you. Come on now. I got authority. I got something to say. I got the blessing wall between me and the devil. Now, living in the supernatural. This ain't been taught. Say amen.
Amen.
Folks, like I say, because we don't know some things, we've lost some things. Now, nobody get it condemned in here because you messed up 5 marriages, make this next one work. Say amen to that. That's all I'm telling you. We got some tools here.
Amen.
If you know how to work the blood, you can put a bloodline around your house.
Amen.
Come on now, come on. If you got faith in that blood. Isn't this wonderful? God is calling you to be a transition person. You're going to cut it off. It won't run in your family line anymore. Last place. Let's go over to Job. Hallelujah. Restoration comes through revelation. Job chapter 1. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. Glory to God. I want to show you this because Job broke down the blessing wall. Verse 8, I'll start there. Now, you know he was getting blessed. Am I right about it? Everybody know that. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is not one like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him? The devil's just, he's giving you some secrets right there.
Yes, sir.
There's a wall around you.
Amen.
And about his house, watch this, that means your kids. Come on, come on, help me. That means about all that he has, that means on every side, that means your property, your business, your come on, everything, he's got a hedge around him. I said, there's a blessing wall up. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Watch this. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he's going to curse you to your face. Wow. Now, what she didn't know is that Satan didn't know, that Job was not just serving God for what he could get. What you got to know is Bill Winston is not serving God for just what he can get. What you got to know is you are not serving God for just what you can get. Job said something very interesting in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What was he saying? I don't care what's put on me. The nature of God will not change. The covenant of God is forever. And your marriage is not only a miracle, it's a covenant. A covenant says what yours is mine and what's mine is mine. No, what's yours is mine. Let me get that right. What's yours is mine. Mine is yours. The covenant is forever. And that's why women used to be virgins, and when they married and married a man, then the man would be the first one that would have intimacy with him, which would break a wall called the hymen, which would cause blood to flow, and a covenant means where blood flows. And it would cut a covenant. You say, well, I see, now I passed that a long time. Okay, wait a minute. Believe for a reset. Believe for a reset. Now, I'm just hear what I'm saying now. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm saying with God, all things are. All right, just stay with me now, all right? Okay, all right, now, y'all get me saying all these things. I'm gonna tell you like it is. Okay, Now, see, I'm trying to let you know there's therefore now no what? Condemnation. See, I can't go through this and you leave here condemned. That's not the way the truth works. The truth's supposed to make you free. You're not supposed to get condemned because you're not, the perfect thing of God is not happening in your life. You're supposed to wake up and say, hey, praise God. I'm going to get that going in my life. That's humility. Pride is a person who think they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. They're doing everything perfect, and that's a prideful individual. That individual will never be changed. It's always somebody else's fault. It's his fault, her fault, daddy's fault. Came from a dysfunctional family. We all came from a dysfunctional family. Came from the devil. But know that God has a restoration for you. He has a way to restore the years that the cankerworm has taken away. Don't leave the covenant. The covenant will fix anything that's broke. And do it unapologetically. The devil's hope is that you would leave somewhere condemned. God came with Jesus and saved you when you was cussing. When you was reefer smoking. Saved you when you was drunk as a skunk. Saved you when you were lying and signifying. But he saved you anyway. So don't look back. Bless his holy name. He's a wonderful Savior. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came that the world might be saved. That's a problem when you know half the scripture, but you don't know the way out. See, I'm here to give you the whole counsel. So you'll know, I don't care how many times you did what you did, God has a way out for you. You take a prostitute off the street or a drug dealer that's been selling dope all his life, God will turn him around and put him in the gospel. That's the God you serve. He's a mighty God, I tell you. Don't ever try to tell me nothing about my God. Paul said, my God shall supply. Oh, I like that. That's my God. I don't care what you've done. See, the devil can't do what God can do. God is a creator. And if a person's mind has been blown by drugs, God will just give him a new one. Chapter 2 of Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife, this is after Job had lost everything, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. See, that's choosing the curse. Job said, no, no. You speaking like a foolish woman. So I'm here to tell you, God restored everything that Job had lost and did it twice fold. Folks, you didn't choose him. He chose you. So what am I saying? These are the kingdom principles that you and I must bring into this whole conversation of marriage. That it started with a miracle. It takes a miracle to put two people together. watch. We got to keep God in between it so we can reach our destination. God has planned for you to live like heaven upon the earth. And if you keep coming to these sessions, you're going to get there. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for today.